بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 27th of June in the year 2022 and الحمد لله we move on to the 46th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu anhu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that the tremendous spells of war was now flooding the blessed capital of Al-Madina. And Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar, he's weeping because he fears, i.e. the fitna of this world. So, why was he so fearful? So there's a narration in Sahih Bukhari, number 3158. Our beloved messenger, he famously said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَوَاللَّهِ لَلْفَقْرَ أَخْشَ عَلَيْكُمْ Verily by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not poverty that I fear for you. وَلَكِنْ أَخْشَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تُبْسَطَ عَلَيْكُمُ الدُّنْيَا Rather, I fear that the world will be given to you in abundance. كَمَا بُسِتَتْ عَلَىٰ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ Just as it was given to those who came before you. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا Then you will compete over it, just as those before you competed over it. وَتُحْلِقَكُمْ كَمَا أَحْلَقْ And that it will then destroy you just as it destroyed them. So in this flawless report, the Prophet said some very important things to the Lord. He said, because I don't fear poverty for you. And he swore an oath. And Shaitan, he says the opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah, Shaitan, he puts the fear of poverty in you. So obviously this is a lie. He's imbibing a lie. Allah Ta'ala, through the lips of his beloved, said, I don't fear poverty. Then he said, but I do fear that the world will be given to you in abundance. So not in abundance. So what's the problem with that? The Prophet explained, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will then compete over it just as those before you competed over it. So what's strange? You've been given abundance. If you've been given abundance of something, why are you competing? Meaning you start looking at others. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَتُحْلِقَكُمْ كَمَا أَحْلَقَتْهُمْ And it will destroy you just as it destroyed them. Meaning, learn from your history. The wealth destroyed them. The world in abundance destroyed them. Therefore, Umar radiallahu anhu, this was his fear. Because now the treasures of the world have come. He feared the day when the wealth of the world would open to the Muslims. Now what's interesting, Umar himself, radiallahu, he heard that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the world is open to any nation, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most certainly cast enmity and hatred amongst them till the day of resurrection. Umar radiallahu anhu added, and I fear this. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad 1-16. So Umar himself heard this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because I fear that this, what the Prophet was saying, is going to strike us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A similar report. In Ahmad in his Musnad 1-153, Targheeb 4-183, Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he relates, a Bedouin once said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have been devoured by drought and famine. Drought and famine have devoured us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I fear something more terrifying for you. Namely, when the riches of this world are poured profusely upon you. So picture the scene. We've seen the scenes of drought and famine. We've not experienced it. But we see it and we can only, think what those people are going through. So in the time of the Prophet, you can imagine, a Bedouin is saying, we have been devoured by drought and famine. So obviously, it must have been severe. Now look at the amazing response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I fear something more terrifying for you. Now think about that. Your livestock is dead. Your crops have failed. You don't know where the next meal is coming from. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I fear something more terrifying for you. What can be more terrifying than that? When the riches of the world are poured profusely upon you. Look at how the Prophet is, you know, highlighting this. So we know there's a danger. But did we realize it was that much of a danger? And the Prophet is highlighting that. Meaning if you don't understand this, you have to register that. Thus it was for this reason that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu warned Sayyid al-Muslimin, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is better for one of you to be brought and killed without having committed any crime than indulging in the luxuries of the world. This is in Tabarani, Abu Nu'aym 1-34, Hafiz ibn Qayyim in his Uddatu Sabirin wa Dhaqirat al Ashakirin, The Excellence of Patience and Gratefulness, page 293 of the English translation. So think about this. What did Abu Bakr Siddiq say? Radiallahu. He said to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, two scenarios. One of them is better for you. What's the two scenarios? One is, you are being executed for a crime you didn't commit. That's one option. The other is, you're rolling in the luxuries of the world. Is which one's better? So you're thinking, be honest, you're thinking, well, rolling in the luxuries of the world, I'm still alive. He goes, no, by Allah, it is better for one of you to be brought and killed without having committed any crime than indulging in the luxuries of the world. So Abu Bakr Siddiq, the greatest man after the prophets, he understood what the Prophet was saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Had not Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there is no worship greater than being disinclined from this world. There is no worship greater than being disinclined from this world. This is in Kanzul Umal, number 6173. Why? Because if it's causing devastation, and you've realized that, and you've turned away from it, then the opposite is true. You don't realize what goodness you've opened up for yourself. And as for those who do not consider the unnecessary accumulation of this world to be an extreme danger, then reflect upon the following. In Ibn Abi Dunya, in his Maqat al-Shaytan, 60-39, Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi, rahmatullah alayhi, in his Tablisi Iblis, page 76 of the New English Translation, Thabit al-Bunani, the student of Anas, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proclaimed his prophethood, Shaytan began sending his minions to tempt the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look how interesting. Shaytan doesn't send anybody to go for the Prophet. He's protected. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tells his generals, his, you know, subordinates, go for the Sahaba. The Shaytans returned after achieving nothing. Imagine that one. Iblis asks, why are you looking so dejected? Why were you unable to get anything out of them? They replied, we have never seen people like these before. In other words, he goes, this is something else. Iblis responds, wait until the worldly bounties open up for them. Then you would be able to get what you want from them. Because you have to be patient. The world hasn't opened up. So let's look at this. Question, are we like the dust of the Sahaba? And normally that's a figure of speech. This isn't a figure of speech. We're not like their dust. That's not like, you know, fake humility. That's a fact. We're not like their dust. Through their own testification, they considered towards the end of many of their lives, the world had deceived them. Look at the Sahaba when they were dying. They even said it. Because we weren't faithful to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We promised, he said, those of you who are dearest to me will be the same to when I meet them like they are when I leave them. Think about that. Why were they so fearful? Because of the shaitan, the world. So then what hope have we got? If somebody goes, I handle it. Then you go, well, but you're the wafid, right? So why are you calling me the wafid for? Because sahaba, you know better than sahaba. But alas, it is only the wise who will take heed. But note the unnecessary accumulation. Why is that important to highlight? Because there's things you need. For instance, roof over the head, pay the bills, etc., etc., going on a hajj, expenditure, you need the money. Unnecessary. Then now, because the trap has been set by shaitan. So again, not all of these reports help to explain Umar's weeping. Think about that. When Abdul Rahman ibn Awf asked him, why are you weeping? This is the day to be happy. He goes, you don't see what I see. And he goes, destruction is coming with this wealth. And to a much lesser level, we see it. If you've maybe second generation, but if you're first generation and your parents lived a long life, you hear their narratives. We were a close-knit community. We helped each other. Everybody loved each other. Everybody knew each other. And then what happened? They moved to the West. Nothing wrong with that. No problem. Money went by. Now I said, like, what was happening? Uncle shoots his brother. Over what? It was about some land. So that land made a brother shoot his brother. Another person's taken somebody to court. Who's taken to court? Father's taken his son to court. Hey. Think about that. So there you go. The wealth. Has the wealth brought anything but goodness? Right? And even say, and what happens at the tragedy at the end of it? The blood has been spilled. The people leave the stage. And the land's still there. You fruitcakes. Imagine that one. Somebody goes, well, what happened? Well, he killed him and he killed him. And what happened to the land? He's still there. So, who got the better of them? Shaitan. Subhanallah. So, note here, very important to highlight why Umar was weeping with the Allah. So, returning to what happened thereafter. So, Qadisiyah was won by the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A messenger is now sent to give the glad tidings to the Amir al-Mu'mineen. In Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 4, page 408, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, radiallahu anhu, he wrote the following letter to be given to the courier. So Sa'd couldn't go back. He's with his force. He wrote a letter for the Khalif. He gave it to a messenger. And the letter, this was what was written. Lo, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us victory over the Persians. After a long battle and a terrible earthquake, the Muslims met numbers such as chroniclers have not heard, but their numbers proved of no use to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave their possession to the Muslims. Our forces chased their fleeing troops in the river and on the roads. Sa'd ibn Abu Ubaid, Rahmatullah alayh, the scholar of the Quran, and many others were martyred. Allah the Almighty is more aware of them than us. They were like lion hearts, but even the real lions were no match for them. Indeed, those who were killed were better than those who survived, only in terms of martyrdom, which was not predestined for the survivors. Subhanallah. So what a letter he wrote back. So looking at the letter very briefly, he described the campaign in two paragraphs. We spent weeks on it, right? But he just said it was a battle. There was a lot of people involved. But it didn't help them. What about the elephants? Didn't mention that at all. And he goes, and we took their possessions and we chased them. But then he mentioned some of the martyrs. Sa'd ibn Abu Ubaid, he was an alim of the Quran. And he goes, Allah Ta'ala knows them all. He goes, they were even greater than lions. Then he said, those who are alive, they are equal to them. The only thing that they have over them are the martyrdom that they have taken with them. Meaning he praised the living as well. The courier took the commander's letter, saddled a fast camel, hastily collected provisions for the journey and took the first step in a journey of around 1,000 miles, which usually takes 3 to 4 weeks to complete. So he's got the letter, he's got to travel from Iraq to the Hejaz, and 3 or 4 week journey, imagine, you know, subhanAllah. When he was 2 miles from Al-Madinah, the courier suddenly came across a man sitting by the roadside who stood up at the approach of the camel rider. He was a tall and broad-shouldered man with a powerful physique and a strong, intelligent face. Yet, he wore a long, coarse shirt of the cheapest material, patched in several places. There was something contradictory about the man. He was dressed like a destitute, but there was nothing destitute about him. The rider did not know that this man had for the past several weeks walked every morning to the same spot, watched the road to Iraq expectantly, and then returned to Al-Madinah for the Zuhr. So imagine, who is this man? Obviously we know who it is, it's Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he's so concerned, he's leaving Medina. He's going to the road of Iraq in the blistering sun, and he's waiting for news. It is related in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 4, page 408, Hafiz ibn al-Athir in his Al-Qamil, volume 2, page 337. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu used to come out on the road to Iraq asking every comer about the news of the Muslims. He kept on watching anyone who came and searching for news till it was midday, and he would then return home. When the messenger arrived in Al-Madinah, Umar met him at the same spot and asked where he had come from. The man said, Qadisiyah. Umar then asked, what's the news? The man replied, Alhamdulillah, the polytheists have been defeated. Umar radiallahu anhu's eyes filled with tears, and he walked quickly whilst the man rode the camel, unaware that the man asking him was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, until he entered Al-Madinah. So the scholars, they point something out here. Umar had jogged 2 miles back to Al-Madinah with the camel rider. He goes, how fit was he? Imagine, right? So you know, your man comes on a camel and he's jogging, keeping up. When he heard, the rider heard people greeting him as Amir al-Mu'mineen, he stopped in his tracks. He then said with embarrassment, why didn't you inform me you were the Amir al-Mu'mineen? Umar radiallahu anhu said, never mind my brother, because don't worry about these things. So look how beautiful. Umar radiallahu anhu obviously was deeply concerned, and he was making special supplications, but he was going to that spot. And there's other details. One detail is, first of all, how come that courier didn't recognize him? You know, wasn't he famous, Umar radiallahu anhu? So some of the ulama said he never saw him before. Maybe he was a Muslim from, you know, from Iraq. Imagine, doesn't even, and who would have recognized him? He goes, he looked like a destitute. So he goes, where have you come from? He goes, God this year. He goes, what's the news? So he's just thinking maybe a destitute is just interested. He goes, Alhamdulillah, victory. And then he goes, his eyes filled with tears, meaning Allah Ta'ala's help came. He still didn't tell him. Just chasing camel back. And then people start greeting Umar, not the rider. And then obviously he's thinking, oh my God, he goes, was that the Amir al-Mu'mineen? He goes, it's okay, no problem. How long was he doing this? He was doing this for weeks. He knew the battle was taking place. And then obviously the other reports, details, his son, Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, he goes, father, he goes, why are you going to the roadside in this heat? Now think about that. What was he doing during the night? He was doing his nightly patrols. And what was the only time he'd get a bit of rest? Kailula. The morning is a time of rest for him. He sacrificed that. And the heat, you know, there's no like shade. So his son goes, by you going, it's not going to quicken anything. In other words, there's no point in you going. He goes, stay back. He goes, if you want, I'll go. And then he tells his son, he goes, go back. And his son wouldn't listen to him. Then he goes, are you disobeying the Amir al-Mu'mineen and your father? And then the son obviously went, you know, he had to go back. Because you disobeyed the, and your father as well. So note, this is Umar's compassion. Aye, for the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So with this, victory was announced. Aye, Qadisiyah had been won. So returning back to Iraq, entitled, The March Towards the Capital, Ctesiphon. Ctesiphon is now a dead name. It's actually got a silent C. You know, I don't know why they got these silent letters. Ctesiphon. Now it's called Al-Madain, right? You know, forget that, innit? So now they're heading towards the capital. Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, radiallahu, who had now completely recovered from his ailment. Now think about that, he'd been ill. So it's like he didn't even participate. But don't forget, he was participating wholeheartedly. He was completely recovered. He stayed in Al-Qadisiyah for a whole 2 months. Think about that. 2 months he was there, awaiting further instructions from Amir al-Mu'mineen. The message finally arrived that he was now to march on towards the capital of the Persian Empire itself, Ctesiphon. So imagine, you just fought the greatest battle against the Persians. What's the next duty? Go for the capital. So what happened? In Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 61, Tabri in his Tariq, volume 2, page 622, Hafiz ibn al-Athir in his Al-Qamil, volume 2, page 353. During the march, Sayyidina Sa'd stayed in Kutha, not Kufa, Kutha, with his troops for some days. So the people found it strange. Why has he stopped here? Kutha. Spent a few days there. He then went to the place where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam used to sit, in Kutha, and also visited the dwelling where he was imprisoned. Subhanallah. So now let's add a few details. Kutha is a location in the land of Babylon where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was born and he was also thrown into the fire. Kutha. So look at how interesting this is. Sa'd's told to go, he goes, go to the capital. On the way, he's thinking, there's a few places I need to visit. And he goes and he spends a few days in Kutha. Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu anhu, his blessed eyes filled with tears when he looked at the dwelling where Ibrahim had been imprisoned, alayhi salatu wasalam. He then supplicated for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and all the prophets. And after a short moment's silence, he then recited the following verse in Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 140. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Such are the days that we alternate amongst mankind. Subhanallah. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Such are the days that we alternate amongst mankind. So let's look at this. So first of all, we learn something from this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you must not pack your camels for a journey except to the three holy masjids. Famous hadith. What was Sa'd doing? Sa'd was teaching you that you can go to the places, other holy places, as long as that is not your primary intention. So people say, can I go to these places? Yes, but not with that intention. Your intention is, I'm going to visit my family, and then on the way I'll go and do this. So Sa'd taught us that, radiallahu. And he went to where Ibrahim was born, imprisoned, and thrown into the fire, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then look how interesting, he didn't just make a dua for him, he made a dua for all the prophets and messengers. Then why did he recite this verse? Or part of this verse? Such are the days we alternate, because think about it, who was in charge then? Namrud, fruitcake, right? He was in charge, or he thought he was in charge. Then it was the Persians turn. Where they gone? Right? So Sa'd's now come and he's just living Quran. He's thinking, look what's happening. It's now come back to us. So he's traveling through and he goes, Alhamdulillah, we've come back to the land where the messenger of God, our beloved man, don't forget he was related. Because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is the father of the Arabs. He's the father of the Jews and the Arabs. So he's not just like, you know, a prophet to him as well. He's also his father, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he's thinking, this is where it took place. Subhanallah. Now you ask a person, Kutha, you know what you're talking about? He goes, Kutha. Kufa. No, Kuta. Kuta, right? Astaghfirullah. Kuta. He goes, Kuta. What's that? He goes, where Ibrahim alayhi salatu was born. Where he was imprisoned. Where he was thrown into the fire. Where is it? Near Babylon. Isn't that a cursed place? Yeah, Babylon is. The blessed force thereupon headed towards Buharsir, which the historians call the Western Madain due to its importance. And inshallah, we will continue from here tomorrow. So all I mentioned today was basically, why was Umar grieving radiallahu anhu over the immense spoils? And of course, it was to do with the warnings of Rasulullah sallallahu, and it's even more dangerous for us if you think about it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then I mentioned that the messenger was sent by Sa'ad, giving a very short brief of the battle and Umar's love and concern for the Muslims. He was actually greatly grieved over the number of martyrs. When he asked how many were martyred, he goes, 8,500. He grieved. And somebody asked Amir al-Mu'mineen, why are you grieving? He says, I don't know them. And there's another lesson in that. The other lesson in that is, how come the kuffar teaches our deen? So what do I mean by that? They remember their dead. On the 11th day of the 11th month of the 11th hour of the 11th, and all 11th going on, we do a minute silence. For who? For the people who died in World War. Without them, we wouldn't be have these, you know, privileges. No problem. What are we doing? Right? And somebody goes, are we supposed to remember our dead? Well, yeah. He goes, you know who Umar is? He goes, Umar, what did he? He goes, he was grieving that he didn't know the martyrs. But then he said something interesting. He goes, doesn't matter, Allah Ta'ala knows them. In other words, he goes, what can we do for them? Because Allah Ta'ala is the one who will honor them. But he grieved, meaning he should know these individuals, especially those who are senior amongst them, if you can say that. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى من شهد الجيب سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل الصبر صدق الله